Hey, you guys, and happy Tuesday. Welcome to Nadia's World with, of course, your host with the most. That would be me, Miss Nadia. So, how are you guys? I hope you guys are all right. I hope you guys are doing well. So, yeah. We're definitely going to get to the documentary finale last night of Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids Television. We're definitely going to get to that because even more explosive things came out last night on it. But also we're going to kind of flip it a little bit and think of when it comes to these award shows, do you think that actors and actresses get their respect and get their flowers? Well, pretty much yesterday, LaMiya Good Bellinger, you guys, if you're not familiar with her, she's been in the industry pretty much with acting on television shows and has been and is a musician. Of course, she's married to a musician, her husband, Eric, R&B singer Eric Bellinger, of course. So she pretty much went on social media because her sister, we all know her, actress Miss Megan Good, who's been acting since she was a little lad. Okay. Megan was nominated, I think, in three categories, especially for one of the shows she's been in on Harlem. That's on Amazon Prime. She was nominated in three categories, and I'm not sure if she took home. She didn't take home any awards at all, and that kind of infuriated LaMiya. And LaMiya pretty much went on social media to specify and say that her, even though her sister is an actress and she's been acting since the tender age, since a very young age, we all remember from Eve's Bayou and probably even younger than that. And she has a body of work that she's worked over the course of years to aspire to. Besides her being an actress, she's also an advocate, and she has how can I say this? Different charities, I'm sorry. Different charities that she puts her work into in order and pretty much in she's an overall human being. So she pretty much Lamaya pretty much summed up in general that she's getting tired of her sister being overlooked when she has pretty much put her debt into being the thespian that she is. And not only her being that, but her being a genuine good person, despite the fact that she's gone through ups, pretty much downs, you could say the kind of downside of life a little bit, but she's rise to the occasion. She's never let that conspire her to do the things that she do, and which is true and things of that nature also. But I say it like this. It's very good to have your opinion and subject on things, but again, it's all about speaking that into existence, but also there's a way to change it. I think when it comes to what we deserve and what we worth and what we are worth at you could say in the black culture per se, I think now it's time for us to not talk about it. It's more about let's be about it. Let's get on the committees, let's get on the boards, let's find out how is it that people are overlooked. Okay, overlooked for what they feel that they deserve. Yes, it's all about the determination. Yes, it's all about the hard work. Yes, it's about knowing the right people. But again, you always have to know that sometimes at the same time and token, it may be not the right role, or maybe the not the right time, or maybe the not point. And Lamai isn't her right for speaking up for her sister, but also Megan also has to. Megan maybe 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 Megan's not in that space to speak for herself, and she can speak for herself definitely, but maybe this ain't the right time for her. Maybe that role solidified her to do other things. I'm never going to tell anybody they're not a bad actor or a bad actress. Not at all. There's other avenues of roles for you to have and for you to take, and maybe that was the role to get you to the next step, or to the next role, or this or that, and maybe that encouraged you to probably write your own damn show, or to do something or of that avenue, or even change your lane a little bit. Never going to deprive nobody from that. And like I said, her sister's right. she has a very, very interesting body of work when it comes to acting. We remember Megan Good from television shows. You remember her from many, many movies. She has a plethora of work, a body of work. Now, outside her being an actress, I'm not sure of the charities and the work that she does, but who's to say she don't do those things? And I'm not here to say she doesn't. She does those, but I'm not familiar with them. But that doesn't deter who she is. But I think that we just need to, if we feel that we're not being heard or being seen, we have to understand how these award shows work. And maybe sometimes we don't need to be bothered with these award shows. If we feel that we're not being paid attention to in these spaces and things of that nature. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, people just need to be aware and just need to be a foot on certain things. And just, you know, sometimes it's not a bad thing to speak up and speak on things if you know that they're worth that not fight, if they're worth being looked into. Because I think everybody should be respected for the work that they do. And if they're being nominated, that's a step, not even a step in the right direction, but that's being acknowledged for the time and the effort that you put into manifesting that role, however you see fit and whoever it touches. Now, I'm not sure of who's on the board or who's the advisory for the Image Awards or who tallies up these votes, whether it's us as the viewers that do the voting or it's the insiders that do the voting, but we're not sure who does that. But it's understandable to be, you know, voice your opinion on what you feel that needs to change. And yes, it does need to change and it should be changing. But again, we have to look at the dynamics of the versatility of these shows, of these movies, of music, and give people a chance and give everybody a chance who is of the black market. And I'm not saying who's been embedded since the dawn of time. And yes, you should. But also for people who's been here from the middle portion and who's coming in also. Because you have people who've been gunning for this, who's been hustling and bustling since they got here, but never given their chance also. But again, we have to respect everybody. And everybody's opinion is valid. And I think that, you know, Megan may not even let this bother her. She just may gun for even more work. And one day, and not even one day, maybe someday soon she'll be recognized for her contributions to being an actress. And again, you just have to make sure that people get their flowers here, their props here, now, every which way. Especially if they, it's not of being worthiness. It's of they know that they make a place and they have a voice in this world to be heard and to be understood, not only through talking, but through their body of work speaking for itself. So yes. Okay. Amanda Seales also. I love me some Amanda Seales. I do. I'm not gonna sit here and lie for nobody. I love her. Besides her outspokenness, her visceral views of the world and what she stands on, not only being black, but also being a woman, also in her truth, also her cancer, her cancerous, cantankerous, I like how I said that, right? Sign, because she is a Cancer. She has that passionate factor. So above all things, and we watched her grow up. So again, you get a general view of what the world is. She also feels that she's underappreciated in the black market as well. We do remember she did host the BET Awards back in 2020 when we all were on clink clink because of the pandemic. She got to host that in her own house. Okay. She was never invited back. She's never been to Black Girls Rock. She's never been to the Image Awards. Okay. And I think countless other things. And we do remember her on The Real, which I know that was not the show for her. We know The Real has been through a lot, especially once Tamar was gone. You seen the morale kind of go down a bit. And then when Tamara decided to leave, it went straight plummet. Okay? We don't know what truly happened. There was a lot of windmills with Lonnie Love giving Tamar the axe, and things happened behind the scenes, and this person was vying for more money. We don't really know. And we'll probably never know. But we know what the truth is, the truth, and the devil's a liar. So that be that. But again, when Amanda Seales came on, we thought it would bring a new energy, a nuance to the show, and it didn't. It just felt that she was that person waving the flag, and everybody else was either on board, clueless, or probably much, we ain't gonna step in this one. And I think when you have a person that's very passionate, very intricate, and, you know, I wouldn't say brash, and I wouldn't call Amanda brash or abrasive. It's, you have to rise to the occasion, and you have to kind of stand with that also. I'm not saying you have to be, it's not about being aggressive. It's not about being angry. It's about when people speak, they have their take on that. They feel very passionate, very on point with it, and no one's going to make them feel any kind of way. It's kind of like, okay, this is mine, and I'm going to say on it, I'm going to stand on this, and you ain't going to take that away from me, and I'm good with it, I'm good. And I'm not saying that that's a good and a bad thing, but sometimes, again, every topic on hand doesn't have to be a combativeness. It can be it could be agree to disagree, but it's seeing it from many different views. You're seeing it from many different views. You're not saying my way is better, your way is better. No, you're looking at it from many different views, because at times we all jump on our opinion, our this, mine. This is how I feel. This is not me. And sometimes it's not a me or you thing. It's a seeing it from a different standpoint type of thing. And we're never going to say maybe your way don't work, their way don't work, but maybe this way would work. But we're getting it from your analysis, this person's analysis, this person's analysis. Instead of seeing it just one way, it's many different ways. And there's other, like I say, it's many different ways to skin a cat. And you have to see it from that point of view. Or from many different views. I'm sorry, not from that point of view, but many different views. And that's pretty much how, you could say, not the world works, but how things can go when you're in an environment with different people. You're coming from different walks of life, many backgrounds, many cultures, different races, different shades of content and pigment. And you could say color of the rainbow. You could say many different shades and colors of the rainbow. You can see things differently from my tone, but respect how I feel. I can see many different things from your standpoint, but I respect how you feel. And that's pretty much it. So I just think that Amanda being on The Real wasn't the place for her. I think Amanda is definitely is an entity by herself. And I'm not saying that is a bad thing. When you can hold something on your own, you just don't need others. And I'm saying that The Real was a group, was a show put together with many different women's standpoints and takes and views on, you could say, society, culture, and just probably much in general from that standpoint, but not so much. But I just think that it brought a real downside to the show, and it was just not a good fit for them and not a good fit for her. And she didn't even last the season on that show. She was out. So I think And also with her being on the show Insecure, her and Issa Rae kind of got into a tiff. I don't know what it was about or what it came to, but yeah. So I'm not gonna sit here and judge and say who's the bad guy and who's not. We got to say it like this. It's always three sides to a story. It's her truth, their truth, and the truth itself. So I just think when it comes to us as the black market, we can't cancel people out. We can't just leave them out to dry. And we can't make them feel like they don't need to be bothered with us because we make them feel this way. We can't have that crab in the barrel mentality and we're able to just throw people out to pasture. Now, there's some that you just need to ignore. And there's some you just shake your head and not say it. You just shake your head to some people, but you make sure that everybody is held accountable. We're still gonna like you, but we're gonna hold your ass accountable. And that's where the black market needs to come in with that entity and say, listen, we respect you. We like you. We don't love you right now. But your ass is gonna be held accountable for what you just did. Because that wasn't cool at all. And we're not even gonna sit here and ask the whys, the what's, the when's, the how's, the where's. No, we're not gonna sit here and do all that. You know you fucked up. You know that. You know that, right? You know that, right? 4, 3, 2. Yeah, you know that, right? So it's coming from that line. And I just need that. We just have to appreciate people a little bit more and be a little bit aware. And I'm not saying being empathetic, but being a bit understanding and knowing the story behind the story. And if you can't offer up any kind of merit, and I'm being genuine with it, then don't speak. Because I like Amanda Seales. I don't find anything wrong with her. I like the fact that she's passionate about what she speaks. It's pretty much she'll say it because somebody else is thinking it, and she'll say it. I'm never going to say she's out of line or out of order. No, I agree with the things she say, but also it's kind of sad a little bit. And we forget that people are human just like we're human. And we don't want to be outcasted or put out. We don't want to be an outcast because this is how we do things and people don't understand it. And they're not trying to get a sense of why. But also the person on the other side has to also understand how people operate also. And it's one thing to say, well, you got to toughen up and this is what you asked for and da 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 and you made it this way. No, nobody has to toughen up for anything. You feel away. Is it okay to get it out and to say it and put it out there to exist? Yes. Because if you don't, you know what the rest is. And it may not end well. So yeah. Hopefully Amanda will definitely get the appreciation that she deserves. And hopefully the black persuasion, the culture, will understand that. And I'm not saying give it a pass, because I think others need to be responsible as well. I just think a talk needs to come in too. And I just think that folks need to just be, you know, continue to do the work that they do. And I wouldn't say let people live, but let people be. They're letting you be, she be, we be. All of us just need to be. But again, keep it moving, keep it professional, keep it human being. And that's it. Well, So I told you guys this in a couple of episodes back. ID gave us 2 days of this explosive documentary, Quiet on the Set. The The Dark Side of Kids Television. So pretty much with two journalists that definitely set the scene. This was all about Nickelodeon. We're talking about Nickelodeon from the early 90s to the mid 2000s. At the particular time, y'all are familiar with this person. That's Dan Schneider. We all remember Dan Schneider back then, in the day before he even came to Nickelodeon, on the sitcom Head of the Class. He was pitched an idea. He was pitched an idea to form an all sketch comedy show for Nickelodeon entitled All That. Dan Schneider pretty much has been the head honcho, the fool in charge, the big boss of Nickelodeon for over the past two decades. He's pushed out shows that we pretty much watch in syndication on streaming services such as All That, Kenan and Kel, Game Shakers, Sam and Cat, Drake and Josh, and the list goes on. So for over two decades and counting, before he was ousted back in 2018, he bought nothing but the top shows and made Nickelodeon his stable, and pretty much made various superstars over there. Now, in this documentary, we've heard from a bevy of cast members that included Raquel Lee Blau, Leon Frierson, Brian Hearn, Giovanni Samuels, Katrina Taylor, Alexis, I've got her last name, and countless other actors and actresses. But the most explosiveness of the documentary series, and I'm gonna get to that in just a little bit, that even I'm sitting here still in shock about that myself and had no idea. Not only did this documentary give very accurate, very jaw-dropping, not even accusations, but play-by-play on what happened, it pretty much opened up the vault, and I'm saying opened up a lot, about the industry with children as a whole. And this has been going on for years at Nickelodeon. And Disney, you ain't too far to fall either, because I'm hoping for the next one. And I definitely want to be all up involved with it myself, because I've been saying this on my podcasts for quite some time with the industry. Hollyweird is crazy. And the way the industry is set up is even more bonkers. So I'm probably going to put this in a two-part type thing. So we're going to start with part one today, and we're going to get the next one cranking. So, okay, let's set up the scene. So Dan Schneider, pretty much as he ran Nickelodeon with a tight fist and cranked out all these successful sitcoms behind the scenes, and speaking with these superstars, he pretty much, and you could say employees, to where he pretty much was, you could say, low-key racial, definitely made it about being a man's world. He definitely was lewd, crude, nasty, and can go from nice to nasty in about 60 seconds. Okay. Now, how are you supposed to make an environment dealing with children and adults safe if you, the boss in charge, allegedly was an asshole, a pure asshole. And I'm not saying an asshole that didn't crank out that didn't crank out hits, but there was a way to do it. You had not one, not two, but three child predators on Nickelodeon. And two of them were on the same hit show, The Amanda Show. Jason Handy and Brian Peck. Brian Peck did the unthinkable to one of his brightest stars of one of those shows. He was actually in two of those hit shows. Brian Peck did the same thing. But then again, Brian Peck has been around for quite some time and been on other countless shows before moving to those shows that had kids. In the case of the first one, Jason Handy, he happened to be around children all the time on the very first show. Okay? And he pretty much all did the unthinkable to an extra, but it didn't go that far. But he started it and he admitted to it. Okay? Now, before we get started, we jump right into it. Let's go to some of the interviews that were put out there. To the case of when it comes down to the parents, I have to applaud Brian Hearn's mom, even though their relationship almost went off for a little bit. I'm not mad at his mom for making sure that her son got out of there when they got out of there. It wasn't by a twist of, I can't say it was a twist of fate, because it hurt when he got not invited back to be on the third season after he did two seasons of all that when it got revived. But looking back on it now, they dodged a big bullet. And with him being off the show, he said it messes with him to this day. And he's a grown man. You could still see the hurt on his face for him being, you know, from him being off the show. But also the epithets that were thrown his way as Hollywood of him being, you could say, typecast as being this and kind of being humiliated. And then every time his mom intercepted with saying something that just rubbed her, that made it weird and uncomfortable, it was a problem. So she was supposed to fall back and be quiet and shut up and let this go down with her child. No, that would have cost even more. I also have to applaud Jobell. That's Drake's father. I have to applaud him because he saw the signs before everything went left. He saw a videotape with Brian Peck in the beginning touching all over a very young actor who pretty much we're very familiar with his work, Leonardo DiCaprio, back on Growing Pains. He saw the signs about this man being around his son a little too much, touching all over him. It made his skin crawl. You could see that. And he was like, no, 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 no. Let me stop this. No, this is doing too much. It's giving too much. I respect that. Because when a person is around your child a little too much and in the touchy-feely, and the touchy-feely is, it's a touchy, uncomfortable feely, that's a problem. And even you as a parent, there's a difference when you touch your child versus a person that don't know your child touch your child. You see where I'm going with this? So I have to respect Joe Bell for that, because he caught on quick. He caught the signs. He said it. He said, I caught on to it quick. And he was like, nah, mm-mm. I got to keep this man away from my child. He was like, no. Okay. Along with that, when it came to Brian Hearn and his mom, like I said, I respect her for speaking up. I respect her for knowing the little nuances, and was like, nah. And yeah, they labeled her as a problem. And nah, I don't think that she was the problem. It was you guys that were the problem. And she spoke up for her son. And I hope that Brian understands that his mom was trying to do the right thing. And she wasn't trying to hurt you. She was trying to let you know that this is the bullshit that in times in this industry that you have to put up with. And it's not about having tough skin. It's about speaking up when you know something's wrong. But it didn't go that way for Raquelle Bilal. Her mom kind of stayed back because she knew she didn't want to ruffle Dan's feathers. Because the Amanda show was all about Amanda Bynes. Amanda Bynes was the new kid in town. Okay. It was her thing. And everybody knew that. Including Drake too. But, you know, it was a different parallel. So, you know, we didn't see Raquel on the show after probably the third or fourth season. We didn't see her after that. Okay. In the case of Leon Frierson, he pretty much, he also noticed some things too, as he was growing up a little bit, about him being uncomfortable in the costumes and how they were fitting, and knowing that he was, you know, changing. And it made him feel, like, uncomfortable. That was not the environment where you want to put a young man in a costume that was like tight fitting and stockings and leotardish, knowing that this young man is growing up. And, you know, looking back on it, he was like, no. And some of the things that they had to participate and do, like the on-air stunts. You could hear Brian Hearn saying, him being covered up in peanut butter and dogs licking on him. You could hear him say he felt uncomfortable. He didn't like this. He didn't like it. That. It was in the sick, twisted mind of the boss. The twisted dynamics of him. Making things sexual. Exploiting kids. And you have a cesspool of children who are watching this. Day in and day out. But like I say, I have to applaud Brian Hearn's mom. I have to applaud Drake's father. They knew. If Brian didn't put such a manipulation into Drake's head, who knew what would happen if his dad was still, if his dad was in the picture and still got him, would his dad have protected him from what was about to happen? That's how I feel. And the father knew that this Brian person was bad news from the jump. And if I was Joe Bell, Jake's father, that mofo wouldn't be living today at all. Mm-mm. Not at all. So for the next, like I said, the next part, which will be, I'm definitely getting back to y'all on part two ASAP, because that one is even more explosive with what I have to tell you. And it shocked the hell out of me as a grown up myself, and me being an adult, and me being most importantly a parent. I was just sickened. I was sickened. But I'm not going to sit here and say it's not new, but this documentary was necessary. It was needed. It was compelling to hear these things. Oh, and I forgot about Giovanni too. Giovanni Samuels was pretty much in the later of all that as well. And she was around all of this, and she kind of steered clear of Dan as well, knowing that she said that she was the token black girl. Now, in all of these shows, in all of these sitcoms, we don't really see too much of, you could say, black variety. We've had Angelique Bates. We don't know what happened to her after she left all that. A lot of rumors were flying. Of course, we had Kel, we had Keenan. Then we had Christy Knowings. Then it was Leon Frierson. Then we had Brian. We had Brian, and then we had Giovanni. And it was just, you know, that was pretty much it. You didn't see too much of the black persuasion on these shows. So it was few and far. And I'm sorry, then you had Raquel. You had Raquel that was on the Amanda Show. So it wasn't too much, but that lets you know about this person along with him, you know, dealing with women. He didn't think that women writers were funny. He reduced them to nothing. And then he had people touching all over him and giving him massages and stuff. And this lasted for a good while until the Me Too movement came about, and that changed everything. And then that's when his tyranny ended. So, like I said, Disney's next. Disney is next. But it was time for this documentary to come out. So kudos to everybody in that documentary. I hope all the actors and actresses definitely continue their journey on healing and knowing that you guys spoke up about this. And not only that, but Jeanette McCurdy, Amanda Bynes, we wish her well, you know. Everybody that spoke up. Drake, I'm going to get to his story in part two, coming up very quickly. It was refreshing to see that so many of these actors and actresses have, you know, they definitely threw around getting therapy. They definitely threw around other sources. And I think when it comes to children, and this is in Hollywood, we've heard of stories about children spiraling and going down the rails because they haven't had the help that they deserved and needed. And it's not only the fact that their parents not protecting them, it's also laws within show business that don't protect them either. When you have these pedophiles that don't register sex offenders coming on in, and they're getting a slap on the wrist and going to other shows that have children in them. And then also you have people in Hollywood that vouch for them. Oh, I'm gonna get to that part, and I'm gonna get to that part in part two. Y'all gonna block. Y'all gonna really be pissed after this. I just think when it comes to children in this industry, and that goes for the music and show business, there needs to be more laws of protection for them. And when I'm saying protecting, everybody need to have an ear and eye and a toe right there. Folks, parents need to be more educated when they're bringing their children into the legal show business. And when I say education, you need to have a play-by-play of stuff. We're talking about undertones. We need to have also about racialness. There needs to be classes on that. Classes on etiquette. Classes on how to treat people, especially when it comes to gender. Equal pay. Equal variety. There needs to be a lesson on tolerance. A lot of it. People need to know the words and how to get not swindled and not hurt and not being overlooked or overshadowed. And then the favoritism. And how that children are just kids and they're allowed to be kids. It's unfortunate that they had to have the world on their shoulders at a young age because they were the breadwinner. And not knowing that the things you say, the things you do, and how they treat and how you treat them had an everlasting impression on their lives. Because these actors and actresses who were children are grown people. They still have that complex of what happened to them as a child, as a grown up. Katrina Taylor said that she couldn't be here or nor there no matter how hard she tried. Executives called her house, told her parents that she was too fat. They already have somebody that's fat. She had to lose weight. And then she started to go through puberty. Then she looked like a grown woman. So what do you want? You have Giovanni Samuels who said that she had to deal with insecurities with standards of beauty because she was different. You have Raquel Lee who said she had to bounce back from being rejected. Pick herself back up and go. What? You have Brian Hearn who said his complexity of how he views the world as a black person. He goes to therapy. Because he's fighting that demon each and every day of how he was cast. Huh? Leon Frierson also said that he goes to therapy as well because of what happened with him and how that hindered his life and altered it for a while. And that was with him and Brian's story, I was like, what? Like, whoa. Like, And then the undertones of the sexualness and the overexposed nature and having it being joked about. Not cool. And this is kid shows, not adult content programming. This is children's shows. And like I said, we'll get the Drake Bell story on part two. And I really have your head blown for that one. But yeah. This documentary part talking, I'm not over with yet. We've only just tapped the surface. We're not done. We're not through. We're not through at all. There's more to get. But anyway, that's what I have for you right now. But I have more a little bit for you later. Y'all come on back. Stay safe. Later.